Right, well, we're going to turn to God's Word this morning. I'm going to read from the book of Ezekiel, there in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel. And we're going to begin in chapter 1. I'm going to read the first three verses and then continue in verse 28, right through the second chapter to verse 4 of chapter 3. And then just a few verses towards the end of chapter 3. Now this, I suppose when I say this, sounds like, wow, this is a big reading. Not really, it's just 27 verses. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1 says that in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. And then the following verses, we read of how God communicated with Ezekiel by visions. When we come into verse 28, it says, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell face down. And I heard the voice of one speaking. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them. Though they are a rebellious house, you must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. It was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. And then moving on to verse 14, we read that same chapter, verse 14, the Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord upon me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv near the Kibar River, and there they were living. I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, And you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways, in which, in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do not warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. The hand of the Lord was upon me there. He said to me, get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and I went out to the plain, and the glory of the Lord was standing there like the glory I had seen by the Kibar River. And I fell face down. Praise God for his word. And we're looking this morning to the Holy Spirit to give us interpretation and to what it is that God is saying to us, both as individuals and as a fellowship. Let's just bow in a moment of prayer as we come to God's word. Lord, we come this morning and how thankful we are for your precious holy word. Lord, we bless you this morning that this is no ordinary book, but this is the living word of God. And Holy Spirit, we ask you this morning to come and help us to understand what you, Lord, would have us know, that, Lord, we might be further fitted to serve you. Lord, minister to us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, let me say it's good to be with you. Maybe you're not so familiar with those songs we've been singing. They're really the older songs. In this day and age, I know there's a lot of songs about. Some of them, well, are maybe a little bit questionable, but songs we've sung this morning, we trust that you've been blessed and it has thrilled the heart of God. It's good to worship him and to praise his name in song. But it's important to come to God's word. This is the crux of the matter. This is what this Christian life is all about, is living and obeying the word of God. So then we come this morning to one of these great men of the Old Testament. Initially, of course, Ezekiel, like his father Buzi, before him was a priest. They belonged to the family of Zadok, and he was also a priest. But the account of the life of this man that we have read in the opening verses of this book, we see a man in exile. Not a popular word these days, is it? What does it really mean? It means that he had been driven from his own country. Ezekiel was born and raised in Judah around the time of 597 BC. And along with 10,000 others, he'd been captured by the Babylonians. God had allowed this because of their rebellion towards him, and because really the nation was on the brink of total destruction. Now, after 5 years, and at the age of 30, the Bible tells us that God called Ezekiel to be a prophet. We've read that this morning in the second chapter and verse 5. I'm sure it would have been far easier for Ezekiel to remain as a priest. The priests, of course, were highly esteemed. They were able to read the law and learn all they needed to know about the work. Prophets were often despised and persecuted. These were men who received messages and orders from the Lord, and really they could never be sure of the reaction of the people. It was quite a dangerous mission, quite a dangerous job to be a prophet of the Lord. Because people don't like to be told that they're sinners. They like to hear something more comfortable rather than the judgment of God. We find that Jeremiah and Daniel were around at a similar time to Ezekiel. Jeremiah was still preaching to the Jews that remained in Judah. Daniel was in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar, but we find here that Ezekiel was called to this Jewish settlement by the Kibar River to enable these exiled people to understand why they'd been taken captive. Why? It was because they'd lost their way regarding the purpose and the presence of God in their lives. And so we see that God speaks to Ezekiel through visions. He showed him, first of all, his amazing glory and his holiness. That's where we start, isn't it? God is holy. God is almighty. We're living in a day when people try to bring God down to our level. No way. He is almighty and he's all powerful. And he revealed this to Ezekiel, equipping him for the ministry to warn these people of the consequences of their sin before it was too late. Now, throughout these early chapters, we read of these visions that Ezekiel had of God, through which God's presence and power was clearly seen, for the hand of the Lord was upon him. Around 50 times in his prophecy, we read of the hand of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, that took hold upon him, claiming him for this special purpose, this special mission that God had for him. I was interested to read in one commentary, it said, "The word of the Lord brings enlightenment, but the hand of the Lord brings enablement." How we need today, don't we? The word of the Lord. How we need the hand of the Lord to enlighten and to enable. Now, Ezekiel was down by the Kibar River. That's what we're told. And I was quite encouraged, really, when I read that, because it reminded me in Psalm 139 and verse 7, where it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea." Verse 10 of Psalm 139 says, "Even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast." What a blessing this morning to know that as born-again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that through, yes, his love and grace and our commitment to him, the hand of a loving Father will hold us fast. We're living in a very, turn-around world in these days, aren't we? Things are done at such a fast rate. We haven't got time for this, we haven't got time for that, people tell us. God, the one that is the same yesterday and today and forever, has got his hand upon his people to guide and to steer them, to steer us along the pathway that he's got for us. And you know, as we've been singing in that song also, as we go through life, to know the end, the wonderful protection and the certainty. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, that "I have come that they might have life more abundant," or life to the full, whatever translation you have. I trust this morning that that's your experience, that you're enjoying life in the Lord Jesus. I reckon the fearful days in which we're living, in this 21st century, but they're exciting days. God is at work. God is still on the throne. Are you excited by what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing for you or can do for you? Right, as we read through chapter 2, it's in that chapter where Ezekiel receives God's call to preach or to prophesy to these disobedient people. And in verse 7 of chapter 2, we read, "You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people." I think that's a word to some of us today, to all of us. Yeah, whether we're preachers or whether we're on the pew, you know, we have a task. We need to be speaking. We need to be giving the word of God, whether they listen or fail to listen. And it's so easy, isn't it, to become despondent when we feel that people are not listening. You know, that's between the person and God. We have a definite call upon our lives as his people to speak his words, whether they listen or fail to listen. "But you, son of man, listen to what I say. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out before me. It was a scroll that he unrolled before me, and on both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. He said, 'Son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you and fill your stomach with it.' So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." A further equipment for this great man of God. "For he said, 'Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak these words to them.'" I'm sure you can, you know what a scroll is, don't you? We have to use our imagination a little bit at this point. A piece of parchment that's often seen, if you've seen it in pictures, it's rolled up at both ends and it meets in the centre. Usually with writing on one side, but on this occasion we find that there was writing on both sides of this scroll. On one side were written, it would appear, the sins of the people, and the other, God's judgment for these sins. And if we just step back a verse or two into verse 10, we see that on both sides were written words of lament and mourning and of woe. This scroll, of course, represents God's word, God's message, first of all for Ezekiel and then for the people. But you know, before Ezekiel could give out, he got to take in by listening, by absorbing, by digesting, by filling his whole being with God's word. And he said, "So I ate, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." When we digest God's word, it not only makes us stronger in our faith, but dare I suggest, it sweetens our personality. We need to feed spiritually as we do physically. Now, this doesn't mean just giving a casual glance to the word of God. God's word must be digested. It must be studied as a regular part of our daily life. We cannot give out if we've not first of all taken in. And, you know, I feel today that we're living at a time when we have a lot of undernourished Christians within our churches, within this land, because we don't take the time, we don't take the effort for Bible study. Now, quite often on a Sunday morning, and I don't mean to be critical here by any means, but this is factual, we have on, well, we're getting ready, Radio Cumbria, even though I'm Lancashire, in Lancashire it's really better than Lancashire, but anyway, don't tell the Lancashire folks that, just to let Alan forget that, because being a Lancashire lad. But anyway, we come to the, during the programme, when there's the church notice board, and the chap that's doing the programme reels off quite a number of churches and what's going on the following week. I've never yet heard, and we've listened to it for quite a long time, I've never yet heard a prayer meeting announced. Seldom do we hear of a Bible study, but we do hear of bring and buys. We do hear of all sorts of secular things, and that's good in its place. But I can tell you this morning that there's one church in Lancaster a number of years ago, having only 10 people, or maybe 12 was there, within the congregation, they felt it was time to close. These were elderly people, and the vision had gone, and they felt it was time to put the key in the door and put the lock on. And then they had God reveal to them an amazing vision that they ought to have a pastor. Wow. Pastor for 10 minutes. Oh, I better be careful what I say here, hadn't I? See what God's going to do, brother. They called a pastor. Today that church is 240 strong on a Sunday morning. Do you know why? Because everything they do is centred about the Word of God. Every activity they have, they never miss. And God has honoured their stand. Now then, if we want to go forward in Great Britain today, we need to take a hold of God's word. Not just casually, not just when you're here on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, but like Ezekiel, he'd got to digest it. He'd got to fill his stomach with it. The scripture says, and it tasted as sweet as honey. And you know, when we get into God's word, it's brilliant. I can't understand this. But when Jesus went to glory, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will give you wisdom, discernment and direction. And every time I come to God's word to study his word, I ask the Holy Spirit to show me the way, to give me understanding to it, because I'm not intellectual. I'm only a secondary school education, never university, not even grammar school. But I tell you this, God, by his Spirit, is the one that reveals the message to us. Is it as sweet as honey to you this morning? Because it reveals wonderful truth. Oh, it challenges us. And we've got a challenging word here in a moment that cuts deep into our hearts. But what a blessing, you know, to know the author and to know the Holy Spirit as he interprets that to us. And so, because of the situation today, when, Bible study seems to be off the menu, prayer meeting in many churches has certainly gone. We're living in a spiritually sick and weak nation. Great Britain is no longer great spiritually, because the Christian witness largely is ineffective and unproductive. How we need to take note of the way that God dealt with Ezekiel. Was it just special for him? Well, it was special for him, but this is the way that God works. You know, when he takes hold of a man and hold of a woman that really desire to know his mind and his will, then God can begin to work. So often, let's be honest, we like to do the things in our own way. You know, we like to be comfortable, don't we? We don't want to be disturbed. We have a world outside that's going to hell. And we sit back and say, well, it's okay. He was a man that God took hold of in an amazing way. Just this week, you know, we've heard on the radio or seen on the television how the Church of England Synod have rejected the Word of God regarding Christian marriage. I'll not say any more about that, only to say in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 22, it clearly says that marriage is between one man and one woman. And we need to recognize that obedience to God's word is the only recipe for meaning and purpose and direction in life. He comes to us, as I say in a moment, through the Holy Spirit, the one that ministers to us deep down, into our stomach, if you like, deep down inside, that we might know what it's all about and what God requires of us. Israel was God's chosen people. What did we read? We have read that they were obstinate, stubborn, hardened, unyielding, and rebellious throughout. You know what happened? We read in that verse 15 that Ezekiel was overwhelmed. He was in bitterness of soul and spirit. Why? Because of the sins of the people. For 7 days we read that he mourned and he wept. Now I'm sure that really deep down you long for revival in this nation. Normally you only revive something that's still got some life in it. Therefore, God longs to revive his people. Yes, I wonder though this morning if we're willing to be broken. Are we willing to mourn and weep for the sins of our nation, as did Ezekiel? You know, there's a big cost involved in following the Lord Jesus, because we have a responsibility. But you know, we have the strength in him, the enablement that he gives to do what he's called us to do. And that is to warn people of the need to be saved. We have read this morning, you know, that if we don't tell the message, to put it in ordinary words, if we don't proclaim the message to men and women out there that are lost, they're going to go to a lost eternity and their blood is going to be upon us. We are going to be held responsible because God has called us into a mission field to tell out the glorious gospel message. Am I doing it? Are we doing it this morning? Or are we shrinking back? We will be held accountable for their blood. That's serious, isn't it? That makes me tremble. I'll be honest, we have family, we have neighbours around us that don't know the Lord. And yeah, they don't seem to want to listen. But that's their responsibility, isn't it? Our responsibility is to tell the message. We're not responsible for their actions. But we are responsible to God in what he's calling us to do as his people in these days. Yes, this was a tremendous message for the people of Israel. But it's a message for Great Britain in this 21st century. I wonder this morning, is he able to speak through us? Do we really realise the responsibility that is ours? We're saved not to sit back and say, thank you very much, Lord. We're saved to serve, to go out and to be his ambassadors. What did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where's your world? Where's my world? For many of us, it's not Uganda, or it's not Liberia, but it's here in Rimington and in this area of Hess Bank in Lancaster where we live. A.W. Tozer, you've maybe heard, probably Alan mentioned him. He was a great American preacher and pastor. He was an author and a real man of God. And he said, God being who and what he is, and we being who and what we are, the only thinkable relation between us is one of full lordship on his part and a complete surrender on ours. If you read in Philippians, Paul, when he was speaking to the folks in Philippi, he said, I want to thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And, you know, I just wonder this morning, how's mine? Because what I say to you very much is for me, I can tell you. How's our relationship? How's our partnership with Christ in the spread of the gospel? Are we in a healthy position as a Christian this morning in the service of the Lord Jesus? In other words, am I really pulling my weight in the service of my Saviour? You know, Ezekiel's prophecy has much, much to tell us, and wow, there's so much within these prophecies that are so relevant for today. But if this, what we've looked at here, teaches us anything, then first of all, it's to honour God's name and magnify his glory, to receive his message, and to be in active service. I wonder, do we really honour the name of the Lord? We hear God's name blasphemed on a wholesale scale within our nation. Oh, we need to magnify his name. We need this morning to receive what he's saying to us. And we need to be in active service. We see the many times that the glory departed from Israel because they no longer honoured his name. They rebelled. They worshipped idols. They did everything that they shouldn't do as the people of God. What a test for us, isn't it? I trust that's not said of us. But oh, that we might be a people, you know, that are on fire for him. And I just trust, you know, this morning that we might allow the Lord his rightful place in our lives. That we might be living in continual repentance of sin. That doesn't just mean saying sorry and doing it again. Repentance is turning around and going in the opposite direction. Look where the Lord went for you and where he went for me. Or may we be in full surrender this morning to his will. We've repeated the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I just trust this morning that I, along with each one of us, may be willing and obedient participants in his will being accomplished by the power of the Spirit in this day in which we live. Be encouraged, because God is still on the throne. In Matthew chapter 28, we read that Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." But then he said, "Go and tell others." And I trust that we might be a people here in this locality, in this northwest area, yeah, throughout the nation, that are a people that go and make him known in this generation. We're here for a purpose. God has a mighty plan, and we're right in it. But are we fulfilling that which he has called us to do? Because it's a bit like a jigsaw, isn't it? If you've got one or two pieces missing, it spoils the whole. Or that we might be faithful in the part that God has for us to be involved in. That on that great and final day, he can bring it all together. And yeah, we shall receive the many blessings that he's got for us. But oh, let's be faithful and allow him to do his work in our lives. Not for our benefit, but for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we've got to say that, well, this is hard to take. But Lord, we realise that we're here because you've called us. We thank you for the way that you called Ezekiel. Yeah, it'd have been far easier for Ezekiel to remain a priest rather than to be on the front line. But Lord, you called him. But we thank you also, Lord, that you equip those you call. We're encouraged, Lord, because you don't call us and send us out on our own to say, "Get on with it." But you're right there with us. You have said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be your strength. I'll be your mouthpiece. I'll be what it takes if you will be willing." Lord, just help us this morning to trust you and allow you to do your work in this day and generation, in your name's sake. Amen. Amen.